just so that the record is clear, before we took a break, we talked about an item that the state is seeking, defense is seeking to introduce, apparently, that video was previously produced by the state. And Mr. Gonzalez, with Mr. McMillan's consent, is going to introduce that item into evidence out of order. Is that correct, Mr. McMillan? Out of order, because it's in the midst of your cross-examination.
Yes, the state has no objection to introducing the entire police transmission tape, so we would move that into evidence. But we're only going to play a portion here.
Okay, and this is pursuant to a stipulation.
Judge, we're just stipulating a new position. We're not, nothing's even going out of order. I'm just facilitating the playing of it because we're on the LMO and not the.
Okay, gotcha. We can proceed. It needs to be marked.
Right.
Okay,
so
I have a video already.
I can fill out this. I can put it on a thumb drive that I have and I can give that to you.
And we'll need thumb drive.
Yeah, it's $20. Put a note and I'll give it to you before I get it. Okay.
And the witness, Michael Flores, told me the police officers on the scene.
Okay. Officer Pino, we're going to play a short portion of the police transmission tape.
Is it Pino or Perez?
Pino Perez.
Oh.
And I believe it's going to start at 42 seconds into this audio clip where you are saying C-103 arrival. Is that you? Recognize that?
Yes,
is that the police transmission back from March 24, 2020?
Yes,
and it relates to this case when you were responding and ultimately arriving at Mr. Abbott's residence?
Yes,
did you recognize yourself saying Charlie 103 arrival?
Yes,
and when you gave that transmission, were you parked in front of the truck?
No, I was still inside my vehicle.
Inside your vehicle, but you had it?
On the roadway.
On the roadway. But in front of the Abbott house?
Yes.
And you testified that you could hear the music from inside your car, right?
Yes, sir.
Right. And your driver's side window is down?
Yes, sir.
And you heard yourself say Charlie 103 arrival, is that correct?
Correct.
Did you hear any music at all?
No, you don't.
Did you then hear, 10 seconds later, where you say, QSL, the gentleman for the pickup truck is not going to be cooperation. He just walked inside his house, and then you say something unintelligible. Did you hear that?
I heard the audio.
Was that you?
Yes, it was.
And you made that transmission?
Yes.
And you notified the police transmission dispatcher that Mr. Abbott, in your opinion, was not being cooperative, right?
Correct.
Did you hear during that transmission any loud music?
You can't hear the loud music on the radio.
You could not hear that on there?
On the radio.
But in your testimony is it was very loud.
It was.
The dispatcher then says QSL. What's that mean?
Okay, acknowledge.
And then the dispatcher says, do you need an additional 15? What's a 15?
Backup officer.
And what was your response to that?
Yes.
During any of that communication, did you hear any music?
On the computer, you can't.
You can't hear. And you were in close proximity to that truck, and you could hear that music plainly, right?
Between my vehicle and the tree, yes.
In Coral Gables, when a unit is dispatched to a call, is it the standard that Coral Gables sends out not only the dispatched unit, but an additional unit?
Correct.
So on every call, two police cars, and with at least two police officers, respond to a call. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So on this call, when the dispatcher dispatched this call at 10:09, she dispatched you, but at the same time, there was a second officer that was also responding to the call. Is that right?
Right.
So that would have been two officers arriving on the scene. At the point that you had advised the dispatcher that Mr. Abbott was not being cooperative and you asked for an additional unit, had Plesko arrived?
No, he arrived right after.
So you knew that another unit was coming to the scene, right?
Correct.
Despite that, you wanted a third unit to come to the scene.
Since I didn't have a unit there, I wanted my backup officers to be there.
But you asked for an additional.
Correct.
You didn't ask, where is my standard second unit? You said, I want an additional.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yes.
So you wanted three, at least three police cars and at least three police officers, right?
Correct.
Why is that?
Because when I got on the radio and I said he wasn't being cooperating, and also supervisors are listening to the radio constantly, and for a call like this, if they didn't monitor the radio at that particular moment, they would have responded, since they knew how the situation was already going on.
But that's 10 seconds. So within 10 seconds, you felt that you needed a third officer and a third police car.
Correct.
You didn't ask for a supervisor.
No, sir.
Why not?
Because I prefer to ask for a backup officer that are closer than a supervisor.
Why?
Because the supervisor might be coming from the station, or a backup officer could be coming from the zone next to me.
You were dispatched to a disturbance, the loud music, right?
Yes.
And in the city of Coral Gables, there is an ordinance for that, right? Did you receive any training in the academy about that?
No.
Did you receive any training during your FTO about noise ordinances and enforcement?
They did. They gave me a pamphlet. I don't have the pamphlet with me now that I could provide to you.
Did you have a copy of the ordinance with you while you were on duty that evening?
I don't remember.
You did have the ability to read the noise ordinance on Power DMS, right?
I believe I mentioned that before.
What is Power DMS?
Power DMS is where we have AGC policies. I haven't physically logged in to see for ordinances. I may have said it before, but I have to check where it's most likely for AGC policies.
And that is a portal that's on your laptop inside your police car, right?
Yes, sir.
Which essentially would give you access to that ordinance where you could read the ordinance, right?
Yes.
But you didn't do that.
No.
So prior to this incident, you were not familiar with Section 34169, right?
Right.
Do you know what time frame that ordinance is enforceable?
To my understanding, it's linked to a bothers one of your neighbors.
But you haven't read the ordinance?
No, sir.
And violation of that ordinance, is that a restable offense?
No, sir.
What is it?
It's just a report that goes to court enforcement.
So it's a civil infraction?
Yes, sir.
Did you write a civil citation for the noise ordinance?
No, sir.
Did you have a device with you to determine the decibel level of the music?
No, sir.
When you initially got out of your car and you walked up on the passenger side of Mr. Abbott's truck, you walked across the sidewalk onto his personal property, right?
Correct.
And he immediately told you that he didn't want you on the property, right?
At first he wasn't talking, he was just staring at me. I got closer to the door, and that's when he exited the vehicle. And they began getting together to fall off the property.
Was there any uncertainty in his words about what he wanted? But that was pretty clear?
Yes, sir.
Despite that, he had to repeat that 3 times before you moved off of his property. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Why did it take 3 times his requesting you to get off his property when you didn't have a right to be there?
Correct.
Why? You don't have an answer?
No,
sir. So you eventually move off, but your shoes are still on his property, right?
Yes, sir.
And he noticed that, and he asked, can you please get the tips of your shoes and get off my property?
Yes, please.
But he asked you to do that?
Yes, sir.
And he was very insistent.
Yes, sir.
And again, he had no legal right to be on the property, right?
Yes, sir, just for a noise complaint.
So there was no probable cause to arrest?
Nope.
No warrant?
Nope.
No consent? And in fact, at no point did you have consent to be on the property, right?
No.
That's correct?
Yeah.
And at no point did you have a warrant which would allow you to go on the property?
No warrant.
Have you ever arrested anybody for trespass?
Yes.
What's trespass?
Entry remaining a structure.
Or property?
Property.
Without the consent of the owner?
Correct.
But you're staying on the property there after he's asked you 3 times. You're essentially committing a trespass. Is that correct?
That's called for a legal conclusion.
Overall,
he's
setting off the definition.
Is that accurate?
Sure.
That's a crime, right?
When you do a report and you trespass the person, correct?
Simple trespass is just a misdemeanor, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a yes?
Yes.
You were armed, right?
Yes, sir.
And there's also 810.09 subsection 2C. An individual that is armed with a firearm or another dangerous weapon during a trespass is guilty of a felony. You aware of that? So, when you're standing on his property and he asked you the 3 times, you're armed, you're actually committing a felony by being on that property without his consent. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
Mr. Abbott had no difficulty communicating his request to you, is that right?
Can you repeat it one more time?
Mr. Abbott had no difficulty communicating with you what he wanted done.
No.
Would you agree that Mr. Abbott understood what was happening and what he wanted done?
I will say yes.
And you didn't observe Mr. Abbott to be armed, did you?
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment. So at some point you saw that he was armed?
No.
At any point during this entire scenario, did you see him armed?
No.
Did you see any bulges in his pockets?
No.
Did he have a knife?
No. don't know if you have an idea, but I didn't find out.
But did you see anything consistent with him being armed?
No, I said no.
Did you see anything inside the truck? A weapon? But you didn't see anything as far as a weapon?
I didn't see anything.
Your affidavit indicates that you detected a strong odor of alcohol. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you were a trooper for 5 years?
Yes, sir.
You were breath test certified?
Yes, sir.
You made a DUI arrest?
Yes, sir.
Was there any other indicia of impairment that you observed?
I don't know.
What is typical indicia of impairment due to alcohol consumption?
I don't remember.
Bloodshot eyes?
Yes.
Did Mr. Abbott have bloodshot eyes?
Bloodshot eyes through speech. I don't remember if he had bloodshot eyes or not.
Let me show you what's defendant's exhibit A. Can you take a look at that?
Yes, sir.
What's that?
Mr. Michael Abbott's face.
And is that a picture of Mr. Abbott that was taken that evening?
Yes, sir.
Did you see his eyes?
With the glare of the... I can see his eyes.
Do you see what color his eyes are?
And when you tell if they're gray or blue.
Okay. They look gray or blue to you?
Yes.
Do you see the whites of his eyes? Do you see his eyes as bloodshot?
No.
During your encounter with Mr. Abbott, did you detect whether his eyes were watery?
No.
Did you detect whether his speech was slurred?
Don't remember.
Would that be significant to support the theory that he was impaired? Slurred speech?
Yeah.
That would be something that you would remember, be notable?
Yes, sir.
And you didn't have any difficulty understanding him, is that right?
Correct.
You've also testified that he was not unsteady as he exited the Toyota, is that correct?
I don't remember.
Do you remember getting a deposition?
With the state attorney and you, yes.
Right, when I was there, we were on Zoom.
Yes,
you were sworn to tell the truth.
Yes.
You were asked. So on page 23, lines 4 to 10. Do you remember this question being asked? When Mr. Abbott exited the vehicle...
Objection, Judge, improper impeachment.
Do you remember being asked by me, when Mr. Abbott exited the vehicle, did he have any difficulty?
I don't know what asked you.
Would reviewing your deposition refresh your recollection as to that question and potentially your answer? If you had a chance to read it?
Yes.
So, let me ask you, when he exited the vehicle, he didn't have any difficulty, did he?
No.
And you did not see him stumble or fall as he exited the vehicle, is that right?
Correct.
And you didn't see him stumble or fall as he walked, and he walked from his truck into his house?
Correct.
You didn't see him have any difficulty?
No.
And unsteady gait is something that's also consistent with somebody being impaired, right?
Yes.
When he made his way to the house and he went up the stairs, there's three stairs at the entry of the house, right?
So we'll see the picture and tell you exactly how many stairs.
Let me show you Defense Exhibit A composite. Three pictures from the far view. Can you see the steps into the house?
Yes.
Is that where Mr. Abbott went and went up those stairs?
Yes.
Can you see the number of stairs?
Three.
Did Mr. Abbott have any difficulty walking up those three steps?
No.
Did he have to use the rail there to the left? He didn't fall or stumble, right?
Other than being upset, Mr. Abbott was lucid, meaning he was coherent. Do you agree with that? When Abbott went into the house, do you remember how he got to the house?
Walk.
Where? Did he go around the back of the truck into the courtyard?
He went in the front of the pickup truck. He took the sidewalk all the way to, and I remember you telling me, Chicago Papers. And that's where he entered through the, pushed the gate into the laundry room.
So your testimony is he walked around the rear of the Mercedes and then down this sidewalk and then made a left and went up the Chicago brick pavers?
Yes, sir.
You don't recall him going around the back of the truck and through another entrance and through the courtyard?
Yes, sir.
And when Mr. Abbott went into the house, you stayed where?
Between my crumb bag and the oak tree, around that area.
On the sidewalk or on the swale, the city swale?
On the city swale.
You never issued a citation or a noise ordinance, did you?
No.
And you never had that discussion with Officer Plesko, right? About why don't we just issue a citation and get out of here? Did Plesko mention that to you?
No.
When Mr. Abbott walked down the Chicago pavers, there is a security gate or a privacy gate, right? That's about thigh high.
Right.
You remember that?
Yes.
Do you remember how that opens? Whether it opens in or it opens out?
I think it opens in.
You don't remember. Do you remember if Mr. Abbott had to actually open it?
Don't
Do you remember if it was spring-loaded and after it was opened it would close?
Don't remember.
And your testimony is that he came out of the laundry room with a GoPro.
Yes.
And so you are standing near this oak tree, all right?
Yes, sir.
Did you move to the west side of the oak tree, or did you stay over here?
I believe I stayed over there.
So you were still on the west side, the west side?
Yes, the east side.
It's okay, you're on the east side of the oak tree, which is closer to the west side, right?
It's between the front big and the oak tree. Around that area.
Correct, okay. So that, yeah, right, that's the east side.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you stayed over there. And you saw Mr. Abbott go all the way into this room?
Yes.
And did you lose sight of him?
Once he went in, yes.
How long was he in there?
I don't know.
Seconds? Minutes?
It could have been seconds.
Did Plesko arrive while he was inside?
No. He arrived while he was exiting the house.
So Abbott exits, and where does he go?
He starts walking towards the sidewalk. Yeah, stands back around this area.
Okay, so he comes down the three steps. He opens the security gate, right?
Yes.
And he walks down the Chicago brick pavers to the intersection here of the sidewalk and the brick pavers.
Correct.
Does he actually get onto the sidewalk?
Don't remember.
And what happens when he gets there?
He was trying to turn the camera on. Or he was trying to do something with the camera, but it kept beeping, so I don't know if he was ever able to turn it on or not.
You have a GoPro, right?
I have a GoPro, but I haven't used it in a while.
Do you ever read the manual?
No.
Does your GoPro, what model do you have?
I think it's a 5.
And when you turn on that GoPro, does it make audible beeping sounds?
Objection, Judge. Objection doesn't seem relevant to a standard around the paddle. It's got nothing to do with any of the alleged conduct or anything like that. These are tertiary questions of credibility that are necessary for trial. But it'll speak to any of the allegations of the actual physical conduct.
Mr. McMillan, any other questions along these lines about the functioning of the GoPro? Or is this your final question on the functioning of the GoPro?
Right, just whether or not he knows.
Okay.
So I know when you press the button to record it, it does make a beeping noise, which is, I believe, 2 beeps, and then, but when you turn it on, I don't remember if it does.
Where is Abbott when Plesko arrives?
Around the same area.
So he's at the end of the Chicago bricks right here at the sidewalk.
Yes.
And does Plesko get out of the car?
Yes.
Abbott stays in that position?
Around that area, yes.
What happens?
Plesko, I believe he tells him a little bit of music, and that's when he started turning around, walking back into the house. He says, get off my property, I don't want to shoot you.
Okay, so your testimony is that Mr. Abbott is told by Officer Plesko somewhere by the end of the Chicago bricks by the sidewalk to lower the music, right?
Right.
And that Mr. Abbott then starts to make a statement about get off my property or I'm going to shoot you?
Yes, he's going into the house right away.
So you're saying that he made that statement right here at the end of the Chicago bricks.
So he started saying the statement, get off my property, as he was walking towards the door. While he was getting to the stairs, that's when he made the comment, or I'll shoot you guys, or I'll shoot you. I have to refer back to the report for the exact wording.
So, but what was the exact statement?
To get off his property, or I'll shoot you.
So it was a conditional. Get off my property, or I will shoot you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I have to refer back to the report.
The report with refreshed recollection?
For that, or yes.
Which report, the 8-1?
No, the incident report that Officer Eric will agree with the report.
Do you have the report?
It says, if you don't get off my property, I'm going to shoot you.
So it was a conditional. If you do not get off my property, I will shoot you.
Correct.
So your testimony is it took Mr. Abbott, and did he run or did he walk?
He was speed walking.
Speed walk. So it took him the entire length of the Chicago brick pavers before he finished that statement?
Yes.
Did he say it as he's walking away, or was he looking back, or was he walking backwards?
He was walking away, looking backwards.
So he's walking away, you know, looking over his left shoulder, right shoulder?
Left.
So he's looking over his left shoulder as he's walking down the pavers, and he's saying, if you don't get off my property, I'm going to shoot you.
Yes.
So when he gets to the final statement, I'm going to shoot you, where is he?
He's by the stairs.
So he's not on the stairs.
I don't remember if he was on or by the stairs, but he was around that area.
Do you remember him opening the gate?
Yeah, he passed the gate.
Do you remember being asked this question? On the steps leading into the laundry room, Abbott states, if you don't get off my property, I'm going to shoot you.
Yes.
And that was in deposition, right?
Yes.
Where you said, on the steps leading into the laundry room, Abbott states, if you don't get off my property, I'm going to shoot you.
Yes.
Okay, but now here in court today, you're telling Judge Brinkley, oh, no. He starts saying that way down here on the brick papers.
Correct.
Okay. You were sworn to tell the truth at that deposition, right?
What?
You had an opportunity to review your reports, listen to the transmission tapes.
But
you had an opportunity to?
Well, when I requested, yes.
Do you remember being asked this question? Or giving this answer? No question. He was on the steps when he made the statement.
That he was going to shoot us?
Yeah.
He was around the steps. If I said he was on the steps at that time, but time had passed.
Your memory gets better with time?
No, yes. This happened in 2020.
So your memory would have been better when you were giving your deposition?
Yes.
Would your a review of your deposition reflect your recollection as to what you said at that time?
Yes.
So at deposition, you said that he was on the steps.
Correct.
But here in court, your testimony is, no, it's down there by the sidewalk.
No, I said it could be either next to the steps, by the time he says, I'm going to shoot you, it was either by the steps or on top of the steps.
Do you remember being asked this question on page 35, starting at line 11? And he's on the steps, or the landing, or inside the laundry room, when he makes the statement. Do you remember that question?
Yes.
Do you remember your answer being the steps?
Yes.
And the next question, which step? And you say, the steps that lead to the laundry room. Do you remember saying that?
Yes.
Do you remember this question? I know, but there's three of them. You remember this answer? Well, I can't tell you exactly which step he was standing on. I know he was on the steps.
Yes.
What happens when Mr. Abbott turns around and walks back up into the house?
After he said that he was going to shoot us, Officer Pleska went in front of me, took a tactical stand, and I took a tactical stand behind him. And we waited by the stairs while he announced himself for Gables Police.
And ultimately, the statement was made on the steps, right?
Correct.
So then you are how many feet away from Mr. Abbott when that statement is made about the shooting?
It was probably still by the oak tree.
Okay, some distance away. Right? Because yeah. What you're saying is that you're over here by this oak tree, right?
Yes, sir.
And Abbott is over here on the second or third step.
Right.
Right? And he makes that statement. So Abbott is one step away from being inside the house?
Yes.
And so how is the decision made to rush the house? You make that or Pascal?
There was no decision. I just saw Pascal was heading towards the door and I followed him.
Did he say anything?
No.
Did Pascal walk or run?
I don't remember.
And so Pascal, you follow Pascal?
Yes, sir.
Pascal has to open the gate?
If it was closed, yes.
And by the time you guys have taken maybe one step or two steps, you can't see Abbott anymore, right?
No, yeah.
Gone. Is that a dangerous situation?
It is.
Do you know how many people are inside the house?
No.
Do you know whether there's adults or children or who or what's in the house?
No.
Do you know the layout of the house?
No.
And your police car is back here. And Pleskow's car was back here?
Yeah, it was probably behind mine.
Coral Gables Police, they have a SWAT team, right?
They do.
You guys didn't call a SWAT team?
No.
You didn't call a supervisor?
No.
You guys figured it was better to, even though you've lost sight of this guy into some structure, you have no idea where inside that structure, you think it's better to run up there, right?
That's what we did, correct.
Okay. And what you get to the top of the stairs, right? Showing you composite defendants A composite. You see that picture?
Yes.
That's a close-up of the stairs and the door?
Yes.
Is that where you guys ran up to?
Yes.
Is that past that security privacy gate?
It is.
And is that covered by an overhang of the house?
Yes.
Do you know what curtilage is?
Yes.
Is that on the curtilage of the house?
Yes.
So you can arrest somebody for burglary if somebody's on the curtilage, right?
With the intent to commit a crime, yes.
Yeah. Or trespass. If you don't have permission and you're armed, you're committing that felony right there also, right? Okay. Pascal takes a position to the left of the door?
To the right.
Oh, he gets to the right.
Yes, sir.
And is there... Could you see inside from the right?
No, I can't.
So there's no question in your mind that Pascal gets to the right of the stairs.
Right.
And you pull your gun, he pulls his gun?
Right.
And is he looking inside here?
I couldn't see what he was looking at.
But he's in front of you. Are you on the steps?
Yeah, I'm on the bottom.
So you're on the bottom step. Are you on the same side, the right side? So you're right here behind him?
Yes.
You have your gun in your right hand or left hand?
Right hand. I'm okay. Low ready.
Okay. Low ready, so you have it with two hands down.
Low no, low ready. I have it one hand, both pointing down.
Okay. So you have it pointing down. So you're, are you crouched?
A little bit.
You're crouched down behind Pascal, right?
Yes.
And you are you guys nervous? Concerned?
Oh, you always get nervous in a situation like this. You always get concerned too.
What are you worried about?
Well, after a threat like that, if he carries it on, then that's something that we should be worried about all the time.
If he goes in, and if he grabs something, and if he comes back out.
Right.
You guys feel that you're in a good position there?
We're not in a good position.
It's not a good position, right?
No, it's not.
It's a compromising position.
Right.
It's really illogical, right? Does it make sense? I mean, as far as defense tactics?
Right.
And so... Pascal is focused, right? Because the guy went in, so you're assuming he's going to come back out the door, right?
Right.
And so he's standing right there, right?
Well, announcing himself.
Announcing himself. Mm-hmm. And somehow, Abbott suddenly emerges out of the door and hits him?
Yeah, he comes from this, I don't know where that leads into, what part of the house.
You guys ultimately went in there, right? You rushed in?
To that area where they don't
the laundry room.
Correct, but it was right here at that time when he got punched, it was fucked.
Defendant's A composite. What's that? Is that a close-up of inside the laundry room there? And that shows the washer right on the left side of that picture?
Yes.
And there's an entrance into, like, the kitchen or some other portion of the house?
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's a small room, right?
It is.
And you didn't know about any other entrances or exits to the house, right?
It was my first time in the house.
So the answer is you did not know of other entrances or exits. Would you agree that de-escalation and officer safety, one of the viable options would have been retreating to your cars for cover?
Could have happened.
Because you're closer to your car, right?
I was.
Because you're standing by the tree and your car is right there.
Right.
Whereas the house is probably three times the distance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it would make more sense, as far as officer safety, going to the car, right?
Now that you think about it, yes.
At the time that Mr. Abbott made that statement, if you do not get off my property, I will shoot you, did you see a gun?
I did not, because he was walking inside.
Did you see a gun while he was standing, fiddling with the GoPro?
No.
But he had nothing on him, and he turned around, so you're able to see the front of him and the back of him. Did you see any weapon?
No.
He didn't pick up anything along the way?
Not outside the house.
So he had no—he didn't turn around with a weapon or flash a weapon or show a weapon?
No.
He didn't point at you guys?
No.
At that point, as he's standing right there, would you say that he had the ability to carry out that threat?
Once he went to the house.
No. At that point, when he's standing there and he makes that statement, in your mind, does he have the ability to carry out that threat?
I didn't see him with a gun at that point.
So he did not have the ability at that point. I'm just going to give you a moment. Okay, Judge, at this point, I don't have any more questions. Thank you very much.
Officer, when the defendant made that statement, he got off his property and he was going to shoot you, where were you?
Between the Cromwick and the oak tree, around that area.
Was this on the property or off the property?
Off the property.
Did you approach the laundry room door before or after he made the threat?
After he made the threat.
Were you concerned for your safety, officer?
Yes.
Were you concerned for the public safety?
Yes.
1 second to confer, Your Honor. No further questions.
Thank you, Your Honor.